Good evening, everyone. Very pleasant to be back in call court again. And last time I was here, I was studying about sin. And I'm telling you, I'm still studying about it. And I guess maybe that's a warning shot. I don't know. I've been told some of the stuff that I've been talking about is kind of hard to hear. Well, it's no harder to hear maybe than it is to say on my end. So I'm gonna speak the truth tonight as best I can. But don't take my word for anything. All right, just check it all out. Tonight I wanna get your mind in the right spot here. I want you to think about a scenario with me, and I know we're coming into summer, and maybe we're getting out of too many weather issues. But I want you to put yourself in the middle of winter, in the middle of an ice storm, and maybe the weather's kind of maybe cleared, but you didn't wake up because your alarm didn't go off, because your electricity went off. But you've done some research, and it looks like work's still going to happen. So you got to get ready for work in the dark. And, you know, when I put this scenario out there, I have to say, you know, at this point, I'm kind of upset that the window in my bathroom is no bigger than it is, all right, because it's dark in my bathroom. Most days I'm pretty happy that the window's small, but today I wish I had more light in there. But I'm going to get ready in the dark, and even when you have the light to get ready by, you still have to check that mirror, don't you? That mirror tells you a lot. It tells you if you're ready. It tells you if your hair's right, and if you got anything in your teeth or on your face or anything that you need to deal with. My mirror reports back to me with regularity. I've got some things to deal with. So that's what the mirror does. And tonight I want to talk about that mirror a little bit. I want to talk about what we see maybe when we look in the mirror. And I want to maybe kind of get into a little bit of what is it that we think of when we think of ourselves, and maybe what do others maybe see or think of when they think of us. I want to talk to you this morning, or this evening I should say, in regards to the sin study I'm doing, and I think I mentioned last time to you, I'm trying to get some answers. I'm trying to get to some real answers. I want to know why sin is here. I want to know why it's so present in the world, and why it's so attractive to people, and all of these things. Why do we get so infected with sin, you know, and those sorts of things? We talked about this a little last time, and I'll tell you, you don't have to worry too much. It's not going to be quite like last time, because today I want to talk about the mirror. All right, and the mirror, that one of the things I think about when I think about the mirror is I think about that statement of Scripture there in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it talks about beholding in the mirror from glory to glory. And it's a beautiful Scripture, but it actually, there's a lot of study that could go into that Scripture. This whole concept of the mirror and what role that plays is very interesting. And I want to get into some of that tonight, and I won't proceed on with any other stuff. Let's get into the Scripture. Bob and I talked back there a minute ago, and we understand there's a certain expectation for Scripture to be involved in some of these sermons here for the churches of Christ. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I should say. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians here, the second one here, starting in verse 15. I'm going to read a few verses here, and we're going to talk about something. Because in this mirror that we're talking about, there's an expectation of what you should see in that mirror. In verse 15 here, it starts out and it says this: "He died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, before I tell you, and I wanted to read this to you before I made this explanation of the mirror, all right? Because when you look in that mirror, you don't see, you're not looking into your own face, is what maybe I should say. You're looking into a reflection of your face. But you trust it, don't you? You've seen that face. It looks familiar to you. That is, that's just kind of the truth of the matter. That's the science behind it. You don't have the ability to look in your own face. But you do have the ability to see a reflection of it. Now, let me just tell you, in this particular section of Scripture here, starting in verse 15, it tells us, now there in verse 15, that obviously that He died for us, and that we should die ourselves and we should live for Him. We should live for Him who died and rose again on our behalf, it says. From now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Now, when you look in your mirror, do you recognize yourself? I mean, don't you see yourself? And you recognize yourself. So what is it that you're seeing there? Well, you're seeing a reflection of your fleshly face is what you're seeing. And so we recognize each other according to the flesh. And it says that we even recognize Christ according to His flesh, although we don't do so any longer, is what it tells us there in verse 16. Because even though we've seen Him in the flesh, He's also made Himself visible in the Spirit as well upon His return. He is who is being talked about here. Now we know Him thus no longer, it says. And if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, it says. The old has passed away and the new things have come. Now the main point of the message that I want to make tonight is that when you look in the mirror and you see yourself and you see your face, how do you see yourself? How is it that you see yourself? We're going to get into some scripture here in a little bit that talks about seeing yourself as Christ. We're going to talk about not being able to recognize your flesh, not even taking notice, really, of your own flesh, but actually being of the Spirit. So there's scripture here, and there's a lot of it that wants to talk about the fact that if we are in the flesh, then we are in sin. If we are in the Spirit, then we are with Him. We can abide in Him, and we can be in the Spirit. In Romans, and you have to turn here. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, it basically says that if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, that he is not His. All right? So we know that when we get the Spirit, right? We already understand in our teachings how we come to have the Spirit. Right, we've heard the truth, we've believed the truth, we've confessed and repented of our sins, and we've become baptized. We called out to Him in baptism. That's what we find out in Acts 22:16. The Apostle Paul called out to God in the act of baptism. That's how we call out to Him. We called out to Him, and we get to walk in, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, how do we see ourselves after that? I was challenged by a man, and I may have told you about this last time. And he challenged me. He said, "Why are you identifying yourself as a sinner?" Because he asked me the question if I was a sinner saved by grace. He said, "Why are you identifying yourself that way?" Because that's what you were. Now you are in Christ, saved by grace, is kind of what his point was. And he made an impression on me with that statement. And the impression that he made with me is because, yes, all too often I call on my sin sometimes just so I can relate to someone so that hopefully maybe I can bring them to Christ. Right? There's not a better way to relate to people than to be worldly. Right? Than to remember and confess the times that you were. And I'm not even saying that it's a bad thing. The confession of your sin is an extremely positive thing over and over. But to identify as a sinner means when you look in the mirror, that's what you see. We're back to the mirror. All right? When you look into the mirror, you can see the sinner. But if you look into the perfect law of liberty, you can see something different. All right? And we're going to get to that here in just a moment. Because basically what this tells us, if we're not in the Spirit, if we don't walk by the Spirit, that we're not His. If our mind is set, and a mind that is set on the flesh is hostile, and the Bible tells us in Romans 8 and maybe 10 or so, it tells us that we don't even have, that mind that's set on the flesh doesn't even have the ability to follow God's laws, to follow Christ, to follow the statutes. We don't even have the ability if we're walking in the flesh. Now Galatians 5, 16, verses 16 and 17, I'll read those to you here just real quickly so we can get a little bit of an understanding of this, of walking in the Spirit versus walking by the flesh. It says there in Galatians 5 and 16 and 17, it says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For those are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. It's basically this section of Scripture tells us that we have a choice to make. All right, and I want to make another point here too, alongside this, and in this same vein, we do have a choice to walk by the Spirit. Why do we have a choice? How did we? So we have the choice to walk by the Spirit only when we have the Spirit of God in us, right? Does someone who is outside of Christ have the ability to walk by the Spirit? Is someone who is outside, who is someone who is not called out to God, someone who's never done it, do they have the ability to make this choice? Is this letter written to people that are outside of the church? This letter is written to people who are in the church. And you have a choice, it says. It says you have a choice to walk by the flesh and walk by the Spirit. And I want to make a little point here that when you walk by the flesh, I want you to think about Adam and Eve. All right? First sin, right? First earthly sin we have. Well, when we think of Adam and Eve and when we think of their sin, did they walk confidently after that sin? Or did they hide from God? Well, sometimes when we sin, we like to hide too. I've hidden so many things from this dear woman sitting right here, it's just not even funny. I'm a hider. You know when I'm not doing right because you won't see me. All right? I don't think that I'm not normal. I think that people hide from God. I think people hide from each other when they're wrong. I think that's what they do. When they've chosen to walk by the flesh, then that was their choice. And when you make that choice, sometimes it gets pretty ugly. And you know it's ugly because you know what it looks like to walk in the Spirit because you have it. Otherwise, you don't even have the choice. Right? But when you're walking in the Spirit, things look different. Not just to you, but they look different to everyone else. Because there's a whole aspect of this thing that is really involving what I just like to call God's marketing plan. All right? Because if you're not in the Spirit, you can't be a part of the royal priesthood that He calls us to be. And if you can't be a part of the royal priesthood that He called us to be, then you're not influencing others and you're not fulfilling God's marketing plan. All right? Now, I'm a business guy. I'm in marketing. Shock. Right? But that's the case. And I wanted just to make this point here really clear here that we have that choice. We can walk by the flesh and we can walk by the Spirit. And we pray on a very regular basis for things. Okay? One of the things that we pray for is patience, isn't it? We pray that we can have the time to do God's work sometimes. I've made that prayer. I pray for the attributes of God for myself. And I maybe you do too. I hope you do. We're commanded to try to be more like Him. But what the thing is that it's really occurring to me in all of this is that we already have it. God gave it to us. He put the Spirit of Christ in us. All right, we have it in there. So when we're praying, we're not praying that God would give it to us. He's already given it. But when we pray for it, we should be praying it out of ourselves. How do you walk in the Spirit? Do you walk in the Spirit by being way over here on a first name basis with the rest of the world who is dead in sin? Or do you walk by the Spirit and being all the way over here on the other end of the spectrum with the saved who have called out to God, who have made the distinction for themselves that they are now, or actually let God make the distinction for them, that they are now a part of God's elect, that they are now part of the sanctified, that they are now a co-heir with Christ to the kingdom. Those are big words, and there's a long distance between those two topics. I've talked about that from this very pulpit before. They don't look alike. All right, let's get back to the mirror here. So if you're looking in the mirror and you see the flesh and it looks like this, obviously you've made your choice. You're not walking in the Spirit. You're way over here. Now, if you make the choice to walk by the Spirit, you can actually fulfill God's law. You can fulfill His will. And you can get everything that comes with it. You know, because God already gave it to you. He already gave it to you. You know, that's the thing. One of the saddest things in the world, and I'm not going to pretend that I don't have some issue here too, because I see people become baptized. I see them hear and believe and be torn to shreds internally. And they've confessed and they've repented and they've been baptized and they've become a part of the Lord's church, and then you don't see them again. And you don't hear from them again. Are they walking by the flesh or are they walking by the Spirit? They're walking by the flesh, but did God give them His Spirit? If they called out to Him, you dang right they did. They got it, and it's in them, just like it's in us. We have it in us. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, and you don't have to turn there because I'm just going to make a couple of quick little points about this. It says, by His doing, when the His is capitalized and it's talking about God right there, by God's doing, Christ became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. By God's doing. God did it to us. We didn't do it. A lot of people look at the churches of Christ and think that we fully believe that we're going to be saved by our works. And I don't think anybody in here is going to raise our hands and pretend that we're good enough to go to heaven on our own. We're certainly not. It's by His doing, like it says right here in 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. By His doing, He became for us the wisdom. It says, the wisdom from God. We have it. It's in us. And we can really connect with it. I want to finish tonight. And when I say finish, that don't mean I'm a couple minutes out. Let me clear that up. But let me just talk. I want to finish in the book of James tonight. I want to look at some stuff that's here in James. I can't ever go to the book of James without looking at what it says in James 1 and 21. All right, it says this. It says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Basically, what it's telling us here in the first of this, it says, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, it says, put away your flesh. It can say that just as well. Put away your flesh. Put away your own selfishness. Put yourself away. Get yourself in the right spot. And you know it's saying that because the very next thing that it says is it says, get humble. Put yourself away. Find you some humility is what it says. And it says, receive the word implanted. We've been through this circle before, haven't we? We know what it means when we receive the word implanted. Because what comes from the word? Faith comes from the word. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, we can't please God without faith. This seems to corroborate that very thing. I read this, and I think about Hebrews 11:6, and I think about Romans 10:17, all very common scripture for us. And I hear those things and I read these things, and it's really hard for me to believe after that somebody is going to have a home in heaven who has never cracked their Bible open or refuses to or won't. because this is where faith is, right? And this is where the Spirit is too, so to speak. The Spirit wrote this book. If you want to walk by the flesh, walk by it. If you want to walk by the Spirit, you do it by getting close to God. And you do it by getting close to Him right here in His Word. And it tells you if you'll put your flesh away and if you'll humble yourself and spend some time in My Word, He basically tells you, you'll be, you know, this is what's able to save your soul. Because there's truth in this book. This book is full of truth. Now I want to look at some other scripture just right here in line with this. In verse 23, I'll just read 22 as well because it all fits together. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Here's the mirror again. When we look in the mirror and we see ourselves and we see our flesh, and if that's what is reflected to us in the proverbial mirror, I mean, honestly, when we're getting ready for work, God is okay with making sure that our part is straight. And He's okay with making sure that we don't have any hairs coming out of our nose and our lipstick's on straight. He don't have any problem with that. This is not the kind of mirror. This is a mirror of self-reflection. That's really kind of what He's talking about here. But what He's saying is if you're in the flesh, if you're just a hearer of the word and not a doer, you're just like somebody who looks at the mirror and forgets that fleshly person that they just saw. And they go out into the world and they do worldly things. But it says right here, look at verse 25. And this is what it needs to look like. But one, instead of looking in the mirror, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. All right, there's a big difference here. One person is living by the flesh, is living in a worldly life, one that doesn't look like someone who's walking in the Spirit. They easily forget how they've been tripped up. They easily forget the roads that they've been down. You know, earlier in this chapter, God tells us where we're tempted, right? He tells us in verse 14, I think it is, we're tempted when we're carried away and enticed by our own lust. We're worldly. When we've been enticed, we walk away. When we're walking by the flesh and we look ourselves in the mirror, we walk away and we immediately forget that we didn't like what we saw. How many people have ever heard somebody say, I can't do something like that. I got to look myself in the mirror. I've said that. I got to look myself in the mirror in the morning. I'm not about to do that. Well, this is talking about a group of people here that look in the mirror and don't like what they see, but then they forget and they continue in the same patterns. I want to tell you what it says in 1 John. I think it's chapter 3 and verse 21. It tells us that if our heart doesn't condemn us, that we can have confidence. If our heart doesn't condemn us, we can have confidence. Because we're pretty good at fooling ourselves sometimes, right? And the people around us are pretty good at fooling themselves or even us, right? But at the end of the day, when we self-reflect, when we really examine ourselves, you ever had your heart convict you? You ever had your heart condemn you? You ever thought to yourself, you know what? I have all of these people fooled. I have them all fooled. But I can't fool my own heart. My heart breaks, you know, or maybe, you know, I'm not talking necessarily about me and right now, but I'm trying to paint a picture here. I want you to know, we all have a conscience. If we are being, if we're condemned in our heart, then there's no reason to have confidence. Our heart's telling us. God put it on our hearts to follow Him. And we know the truth. And how silly would we be to trample underfoot the Son of God again? That's the statement of Scripture. But we hide it because that's what we do, ask Adam and Eve. That's what we do. We hide it. But the fact is, we don't have to hide from the perfect law of liberty. If we, instead of looking in that mirror and seeing the flesh, if instead we look into this book, if we look into the perfect law of liberty, then what gets reflected is Christ through us to others. All right? And when we're doing that, what are we doing but loving each other? Because in the very next chapter, after it talks about how our heart can condemn us, it talks about the power of love in 1 John 4. 1 John 4 and 12 basically says this, that no man has ever seen God. But basically the point of Scripture is that if you love right, people can see God in you. That's the statement of Scripture. And if you go down to verse 17 of that same passage, one of the most beautiful passages ever, and it says, if we love like Christ, if we love others, if we love each other, then we can have confidence in the day of judgment. His love is perfected in us when we love like He wants us to love. We don't do that when we're walking by the flesh. We don't do that when we're looking at that mirror, not liking what we see, walking away, forgetting about it, and continuing on the same paths of sin, on the same paths of darkness. God calls us to be a royal priesthood. He calls us to be that. And we have such a reason to rejoice in that. We have such a reason to rejoice because we at least have the choice. It was outlined in Galatians. We have that choice. God put His Spirit in us. And we can either identify ourselves as the sinner we were, or we can actually become the saint that He wants us to be. The sanctified person who is a co-heir with Christ to the throne. If you want a reason why you should rejoice, I've got a little scripture here, and I want to look. If you want, we'll turn one last spot here, and it's not far. 1 Peter chapter 1. And this I promise you, this will be it. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 3 through 5, and I want you to see something from this. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We should be walking around boldly as saints. We have the Spirit of God in us. We should identify with Him. We should be receiving His Word implanted, which is able to save our soul. And as we receive it, the faith that is promised comes and becomes a royal priesthood for His. If you didn't notice it in this chapter, it says, according to His great mercy, three things happens to us. Because again, this is a letter to us. This is a letter to the church. This is not a letter to people that are outside of Christ. This is a letter to us. But three things He tells us, starting there in verse 3, happen. And these are reasons for rejoicing. He says that He caused us to be born again to a living hope. What in the world do people come to church for if it's not for hope? What in the world do they... That's what drives us on planet Earth, right? It's hope of something. But we have a living hope. God said earlier in His Word, He said that in the book of Jeremiah, He said, I'm the living fountain. He said, and these have thrown away this living fountain for broken cisterns that won't even hold water. If you know what He did, Romans 12, 1 and 2 basically tells us, if we know what He did, it's logical for us to follow Him. If you know what He did, and He tells you what He did right here, He caused you to be born to a living hope, that's number one. He caused you to obtain an inheritance, that's number two. And he is protecting you by His power. Need a bodyguard that's better than God? You need a protector that's better than the creator of the universe. God gave us these things. He put these things in us. And when we became His, this is what He caused to happen to be born again to a living hope, to receive the inheritance that is waiting for us. And lastly, to protect us. He has caused us to be protected by Him. We should be rejoicing in this. We should be rejoicing. And it says that in the very next verse there, in verse 6. We should be greatly rejoicing. And if you skim down through these next verses, you're going to find in verse 6 that, hey, you may be distressed a little through some trials. Verse 7 tells us you may have a test of fire coming up. Verse 8 tells you, hey, you hadn't even seen Him yet. But inside of all that, it tells us that the proof of our faith and our faith being more precious than gold is perfected in the fire. It's perfected in the distress. And the fact that we haven't seen Him doesn't mean that we can't believe in Him. It says this in verse 8, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And you love Him because of what He did. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation for your souls. What do we come to church for if we don't want to hear somebody say, you're forgiven? What do we come to church for? What do we dedicate our lives to God for if we don't rejoice in the fact that He has done these things? We can live in sin. We can live with our flesh. And we can live walking by the Spirit. We do have the choice. But knowing that when we see ourselves in that mirror and we see the flesh that's in that mirror, that when we walk away from it, more than likely, we're going to continue on the same path that we were on before we looked in it. You're not going to convince yourself to live a better life because you've got to look yourself in the mirror. You're never going to be accountable to yourself like that. It's never going to work out. Bible tells us that. Bible tells us that instead of looking in that mirror, trying to find the answer there, look in the perfect law of liberty. That's where the answer is. Read your Bible. Go to heaven. Praise the Lord. It's just as simple as that. I've got it all figured out. I hope you guys do too tonight. Maybe there was something I said. I hope that that was edifying or encouraging to someone here. Tonight, if you're outside of Christ, if you're not abiding in Him, then your heart condemns you. All right? I'm sorry to say it so bluntly, but it's the case. Get your heart right by submitting yourself to God. Call out to Him tonight. And if there's anything, any gospel subject that needs to be taken care of tonight, you can make your wishes known by coming forward as we sing a song of invitation.